welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family, with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Because his family was poor. He started out for New York. Along the way, he met an old sea captain. The captain asked the boy where he was going. He told him. Then the boy and the captain prayed together. As they arose from kneeling in prayer, the captain asked, "What can you do?" The boy answered, "I know how to make tallow candles and soft soap." Well, said the captain, "Give your heart to God, and 10 cents out of every dollar you earn, and maybe God will make you a great soap maker someday." The boy the old sea captain was talking to that day was young William Colgate. This boy followed the suggestion of the old sea captain in handling his money, and God did make William Colgate a great soap maker. To this day, you'll see Colgate products around the world. On this broadcast, we're going to be talking about me, my money, and God. This is Lesson 9 in the Emmaus Correspondence Course, Guide to Christian Growth. Remember, we have many correspondence courses, and we'd like to send you information on them. At the close of the program, we'll be giving you our address and more information. Now, Lesson 9, and the first page of that lesson. A steward is one who acts as a custodian, caring for the property and managing the affairs of another. Every Christian is a steward of God. All that he has, his time, his talents, and his possessions belong to God and are to be used for him and his glory. Let's look together at 1 Peter 4, verse 10. That's the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, and the 10th verse. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In this lesson, we are going to particularly consider the stewardship of money. However, the underlying principle is the same and is well expressed in the hymn, "Not that I have my own I call, I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are His, and His forever." Let's first consider the proper attitude. The Christian attitude toward material possessions is also found in the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember what He said in Luke 12, the 15th verse? "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." The location of that verse was the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 15. Instead of trying to accumulate a vast fortune for himself, the child of God tries to live simply so that he can have more to give to the work of God. William Burns, a missionary to China, used to say, "If a man have Christ in his heart, heaven before his eyes, and only as much temporal blessing as is needful to carry him safely through life, then pain and sorrow have little to shoot at, and he has all a poor sinner needs to make him happy between here and heaven." Another servant of Christ, Hudson Taylor, used to go through his possessions regularly to dispose of all that might be considered excessive in the light of the Lord's near return. Note 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. In case you want to write it down, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Therefore, in seeking to care for his master's goods, the Christian should carefully consider the whole question of giving. Let's pause just now in our short program to think about your attitude. What is your attitude regarding giving? Remember, your giving should be to the Lord. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. On this program, we're talking about stewardship. This is Lesson 9 in the Emmaus Course Guide to Christian Growth. We really enjoyed going through this course with you, and we want you to have your own personal copy. Stay tuned for information on getting this course and our address at the close of the broadcast. Also, encourage you to send us your questions. Now let's talk about the question, when should I give? The answer, of course, is regularly. To be even more specific, we find in 1 Corinthians 16:2 these words, on the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Apparently, the early Christians centralized their giving each Lord's Day in the church collection. This is indicated in the remaining part of the verse, where the Apostle Paul says, let no collections be made when I come. Again, that reference was 1 Corinthians 16:2. Then someone asks, how much should I give? It has been suggested that this question might better be, how much should I keep, since it all belongs to the Lord? The actual amount should be settled in prayer between the giver and the Lord. However, the following guidelines may prove helpful. First, I should give as God has prospered me. You will recall that idea was included in the 1 Corinthians 16 passage, where it spoke of putting aside as God had prospered. Second, I should give bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9:6. He who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9 and the 6th verse. Third, I should give sacrificially. This is how Christ gave. Again in 2 Corinthians, this time in the 8th chapter and the 9th verse. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. One family was known to drink skim milk so they could have more money to give to the Lord. Another bought less expensive cuts of meat and added the amount they saved to their regular offering. All of us could do the same by spending less on clothing and in other areas, by just purchasing only essential things. Fourth, I should give proportionately. In the Old Testament, the Lord commanded Israel to set aside the tithe, meaning one-tenth. There is no such regulation under Christianity, but certainly we should not be satisfied with less than was required under the law. When we say that giving should be proportionate, we mean that it should be according to the amount of our income. Thus, if we receive an increase in wages, our giving should be stepped up in proportion. One servant of the Lord is reported to give one half of every dollar he receives to Christian work. Next, let's talk about the spirit in which we should give. At this point, it would be good to emphasize that stewardship is not just a responsibility. It's a privilege and a pleasure. From 2 Corinthians 9:7, we learn that we should give purposefully, not haphazardly, willingly, not of necessity, cheerfully, or, as the word really means, hilariously. That reference again was 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. To these we might add, giving should be secretly, not to be seen of people. And then giving should be honestly, not professing to give all, then holding back a part. You remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? That was their sin. Professing to give all, but really holding back a part. Now the question, to whom shall we give? It's well to keep in mind that all giving should be done as unto the Lord. We are really giving to Him when we give to His work or His workers. If this were really appreciated, it would revolutionize our stewardship. The exercised Christian will experience no difficulty in finding worthy outlets for his gifts. He will often wish that he had more funds with which to help in the worldwide spread of the gospel. He will feel his responsibility to give first to the local church. There are always expenses connected with the maintenance of a church testimony, and each one should gladly assume his share. And then we should also remember the poor and widows with our gifts. We should give to ministers of the word and Christian activities which are sound in doctrine and which are carried on in accordance with biblical principles. What are the results? Well, there are material blessings. This does not necessarily mean vast financial resources. God is too wise to entrust most of us with monetary riches. But He does mean a divine sufficiency to meet our daily needs. We'll also grow spiritually, which will result in happiness. And then we'll have a welcoming committee in heaven. Souls saved through our gifts will welcome us into everlasting habitations when we die or the Lord comes. And then don't forget, the Bible promises treasure in heaven. Not even a cup of cold water given in His name will fail to receive its reward. That was Mark 9, verse 41. Someone has suggested the joys of giving may be compared to 6 surprises. Surprise at the amount of money he has for the Lord's work. Surprise at the deepening of his spiritual life. Surprise at his ease in meeting his own obligations. Surprise at the ease with which he is able to give an ever-increasing proportion. Surprise at the increased sense of stewardship. And finally, surprise at himself for not adopting the plan sooner. And that concludes Lesson 9 in the course Guide to Christian Growth. For those of you who want to write for this course, our address will be given in just a few moments. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.